It's time to shine the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
And safely kept, comes on to snatch the victory in the final stride.
They can't beat the Heat. Extra Heat. She wins it by 2.5 in 122-3. Here comes the cat. Ben's cat on the inside. Ben's cat. Can Ben's cat do it? He's remarkable. He's Ben's cat. He's the coolest cat around.
And here's the wire. Concern from out of the clouds to win the 11th Breeders' Cup Classic. And here he is. The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar.
Now, here's Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special showcase presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry here this afternoon. And we do it from Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland, just days before the 142nd running of the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes. If you can't tell, it's a festive atmosphere here already. We are positioned in the Stronach Group tent, which is in the infield here at Pimlico. In just a short time, about an hour from right now, they're going to hold the post-position draw for the Preakness. That is, of course, something you will hear live with us as we're with you all the way until 6 o'clock Eastern time. Boy, what an atmosphere it is. You can hear the new Legacy Jazz Band playing in the background. You can see the signs, the placards of all the Preakness contenders. 10 horses were entered earlier today, and we're going to find out in just a little while where they will break from coming up on Saturday afternoon. I'm Mike Penna alongside retired top trainer Jude Feld and former jockey Jeff Bloom, our producer Sean C., all with you this afternoon. And JT, here we go again. This is a show. This Maryland Horse Industry Spotlight Show we've hosted the past couple of years, and it really is one of our favorite programs to do because we get to look at this industry that has so much history and so much legacy, and today we take a look and we celebrate that history.
Yeah, well, there's nothing like Maryland racing, and it has a great tradition, as you mentioned. Maryland's one of my favorite places to come, and one of the reasons is it's so beautiful. When you are driving around horse country in Maryland, it's very picturesque. It's quaint and relaxing. It's a beautiful atmosphere, a great place to raise, and they have a tremendous tradition of raising winners here in Maryland.
Jeff, when you think about Maryland breds, you think about some of the greatest names we've seen on the racetrack in thoroughbred racing history. You think about names like Safely Kept and Extra Heat, and we heard the clip of Concern in the Open, and Cigar, and Richard's Kid, another Maryland bred, and of course the famous Ben's Cat, who is going to make a start on Friday here at Pimlico in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint. Going to be looking to win the race for a fifth consecutive year, and it would be his sixth win in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint if he can pull it off. Just an amazing story, the 11-year-old back in form as so many great Maryland breds over the years.
Well, how cool would that be to see an 11-year-old do that? Just an accomplishment alone, running this long and competing at that level. But, you know, as Jude was saying a moment ago, it is such beautiful country. You might not necessarily think about coming to Maryland and thinking horse country. You think crab legs, right, or crab cakes, which nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'm looking forward to later tonight and having some of that the traditional Maryland food. But the reality is it is a beautiful place to come. And the state of Maryland really does embrace horse racing.
Yeah.
It's such a welcoming environment to come to, whether you're coming to racing at Pimlico or at Laurel. Really missed the former Bowie racetrack, which is a great facility to go racing at way back when. But a lot of just entrenched in history. And, of course, we have the Middle Jewel. And people always sort of joke or talk about how it's sort of a relaxing race to come to out of the three Triple Crown races. People are lighthearted. There's not as much pressure. The reality is it's a pretty important horse race, especially for the Kentucky Derby winner who comes to the Preakness.
So many times, Jude, we talk about this race, the Preakness, being the gateway to horse racing immortality, or at least your opportunity to achieve horse racing immortality, because if you don't win the Preakness, you got no shot to win the Triple Crown, and there's only one horse eligible to do it each year. That's the Derby winner.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of it's smack dab in the middle, and it's put up or shut up time for the Derby winner always, and sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not, but it is a great atmosphere, a very special race, And one of the things I think is so nice about it is you know who the Derby winner is.
Yep.
You can focus on him in the Preakness, but you always have to pay attention to the rest of the field because everybody's gunning for the Derby winner. They don't want him to win the Triple Crown for the most part. There's 10 horses going to be entered in this race today. And, you know, there's not owners and trainers that would love to see their colors painted on the cupola here at Pimlico.
And, you know, also, so you always have a few of those horses that ran in the Kentucky Derby, and you'll make a case for, well, this horse had a terrible post position, got slammed at the start, or this horse got checked three different times during the course of the race. And even though the Kentucky Derby winner was dominant and impressive, I don't know. What about Classic Empire's Trip? So you always have that. And then, of course, you have the newcomers, horses that are a little more fresh. They didn't get beat up in the Kentucky Derby. Horses that looked like they were up-and-comers, now they're going after the Kentucky Derby horse. So there's intrigue, of course, and for those connections who did win the Kentucky Derby, I'll take their position more than anybody else's in a situation like this. As you said, Mike, yeah, there's only one horse that has a shot at the Triple Crown right now.
Yeah, Always Dreaming will be that horse on Saturday. Of course, you're going to hear exclusive coverage of the Preakness Stakes right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. See a complete broadcast schedule on our website at horseracingradio.net. Over the course of the next hour, though, we are going to delve into some of the storylines and some of the things that are happening here in Maryland with the thoroughbred industry. We'll do it with our special guest. Cricket Goodall is the executive of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and the Maryland Million, which will be contested on October 21st at Laurel this year. We're going to visit with Cricket coming up in just a little bit. Mike Pond, who, along with his brother Josh, are the proprietors of Country Life Farm. That is where they stand Frisian Fire, who is the top Maryland stallion at the moment. But Country Life, known for their ties to the Great Cigar and, of course, their ties to Maryland racing and Maryland breeding. We'll talk to Mike coming up right around 4:30 Eastern time, and then hoping for a visit with trainer Lacey Gaudette toward the end of the program. She, of course, trains so many good horses here on the Maryland circuit, including John Jones, who was voted the champion older male here in Maryland last year. So a lot of things to get to over the course of the next hour. Guys, one thing when we do focus on the Preakness Stakes, and this, of course, what we're doing here this weekend, and we talk about the Maryland ties to the Preakness. Well, we know the last horse, the last Maryland-bred horse to win the Preakness Stakes was Deputed Testimony back in 1903. And Deputed Testimony, another honor here, where he was inducted into the Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Fame. I was shocked to know that he wasn't already in, right? You would think that horse, Deputed Testimony of all horses, would have already been in.
Yeah, you would have thought that was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Something fell through the cracks somewhere.
you would think.
Well, you talk about, you know, the number of Maryland-bred winners of this race. There just aren't that many Maryland-bred horses. You know, it's been somewhat of a depleted supply over the last number of years, but the reality is things are really picking up again in the state of Maryland as it relates to homebreds, horses being bred here in Maryland and going on and doing some good things. And that's one of the things, too, that you can look for. You know, when you're out there acquiring horses to race, the incentives associated with racing in Maryland are quite lucrative. So over time, that starts picking back up again, and you'll now start seeing more horses that have the quality and the ability to run in races like this.
People will remember the great Native Dancer who in 1953 went 21-1 with victories in the Preakness and the Belmont. His only loss came in the Kentucky Derby by a head to Dark Star. You think about BBB, who is another memorable Maryland bred, who in 1972 ran only one leg of the Triple Crown, but you remember that one because he won it at 19-1, upsetting Riva Ridge in that year's Preakness. How about that?
Oh, I'll never forget that as long as I live. I'm old. I'm the old guy here on the panel. I remember that race like it was yesterday. And, you know, BBB was a muddy track, and BBB came out of nowhere to win and paid a potful that day. And it was ever etched in my memory. I can remember the race like it was yesterday. And you mentioned Native Dancer,
yeah.
Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt, who owned Sagamore Farm back in the day. He said he wished he would have gelded all of his horses. He would have only made one mistake, and that would have been Native Dancer. So, you know, those kind of things you just can't replace. And Maryland has such a great tradition, and it's really nice. We're here in the Stronach tent, and Frank Stronach and his family and his companies have devoted a lot of time and effort to rebuild Maryland racing, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for the success that Maryland is enjoying today.
I'll give you one more name,
All right, because this is another Maryland bread that always comes to mind when I think about doing this program and I start doing some homework. You remember Kawhi King? You remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. All right, 1966, the first Maryland bred horse to win the Kentucky Derby and the only Maryland bred to win the first two legs of the Triple Crown before going on to finish fourth in the Belmont Stakes.
He was a hell of a horse, too.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous. It just speaks to the quality of horses that have been turned out in Maryland for a very long time. And that's, again, what we're going to focus on over the course of the next hour. We'll be joined by Cricket Goodall here in just a little bit, the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders. Again, Mike Pons from Country Life Farm will be with us right around 4:30. And we told you maybe Lacey Gaudette toward the end of the program. That's assuming she can make it out here to the post position draw, which kicks off at 5 o'clock. So stay with us. A lot to get to. You're listening to a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
Maryland breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro-breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Derby fever is rampant, and thoroughbred racing is heating up with the weather. Watching Triple Crown hopefuls train and prep is crucial to finding the right horses to play on racing's biggest days. PopeJude.com reports can give you an edge over other horse players with unique insights and inside information that only comes from being on the scene at major races around North America. You can use our reports like another set of eyes on the past performances or as a nice resource when you haven't had time to handicap. Go to PopeJude.com to make winning a habit. That's PopeJude.com.
They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
After taking the Kentucky Derby, can Always Dreaming capture the middle jewel in the Triple Crown? Find out right here. The Preakness Stakes, live from Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Maryland Thoroughbred Industry Spotlight on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Frisian Fire has taken the lead. Frisian Fire in front for Gabriel Saez down to this final fairgrounds furlong. And Frisian Fire pulling away with aplomb from Papa Clem. Between horses, Terrain runs on. Soul Warrior and Giant Oak on the outside. Frisian Fire sweeps the three-year-old series at the fairgrounds. Frisian Fire in 1:43-2. Frisian Fire won by 7. Second was a nose between Papa Clem and Terrain. Giant Oak finished fourth.
John Dooley with the call to the Louisiana Derby. Frisian Fire getting the victory that afternoon. He is, of course, Maryland's leading stallion at this time. He stands at Country Life Farm. And we're going to be joined in just a little bit by Mike Pons of Country Life. Looking forward to that visit coming up right around 4:30 Eastern time. Welcome back to Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, Maryland. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom with this special showcase, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry and all presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. And we are privileged now to be joined by Cricket Goodall, who is the executive director of that organization, as well as the Maryland Million, which, as we told you, comes up October 21st at Laurel this year. Cricket, we hope you like jazz music.
It's a celebration, right? We're all here having fun, so it's great.
We talked about that at the top of the show. It is a celebration, isn't it? Yeah. That's what this weekend, its week, is all about.
Yeah, Maryland, you know, it's our time to shine, and everybody's in a good mood, and, you know, especially when things are swirling in the industry, but, you know, you put that all aside for this whole time, and Maryland is doing well right now, so we're happy to talk about it and show off.
And able to showcase with the sun shining.
Oh, my God, it's great.
No rain in the forecast.
Yeah, it's just, it couldn't be nicer. I mean, Maryland at its best in the spring, really.
Yeah, Mother Nature, she must be a racing fan, right? Because she is shining brightly here on Pimlico, Old Hilltop. Temperature's going to be in the 90s the next couple of days, and then Preakness Day, they're calling for it to cool off to like the mid-70s, so it should be perfect.
Supposed to be perfect on this weekend, so that's great. You know, we can do that. We can order that in Maryland.
Well done. Whatever you did, keep doing it. you and I, Cricket, talk often about the Maryland Million and what that day means to the Maryland thoroughbred industry. How about this particular week? You're more in the national spotlight, I think, than on Maryland Million Day. What does this mean to Maryland racing?
Well, what it does, it makes people focus on our industry as a whole. Maryland Million is promoting stallions and breeding to those stallions, which is a huge part of it. But also, there's a whole other Maryland bred, so all the mares that foal in Maryland. And those numbers have been improving as our economics have improved. And so now's the time to trumpet that. We're actually doing better and competing in the region. And, you know, all the stuff that Slots was supposed to do is happening here in Maryland. And with Astronic Group, you know, stepping up now and fixing up Laurel, and it's just all good news at the moment.
Yeah, we talked about the Astronic Group and their involvement and how they've contributed a lot to Maryland racing. To me, you know, there's nothing like the Preakness. I tell everybody, skip the Derby, come to the Preakness. And I love it. The first time I came here, I fell in love with the whole concept and the fact that it's a week-long party and everybody's enjoying themselves. You don't get that any other place. I mean, really, this is the best show in horse racing, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that because you're on. I know you're thinking, no, this guy's pulling smoke. But Mike will tell you, I say it
all the time.
All the time. I mean, we love coming here. And then when you go to the farms, I think people miss out. You know, we're from Kentucky. We're based in Lexington. We have a lot of farms there. But Maryland farms are beautiful. They're strikingly beautiful. And they're very, a lot of them are very old and they're very special. And I think that's another part of Maryland that people miss.
It definitely is. It's one of the reasons I think that the industry is coming back so strong here, because we had a really good infrastructure, a lot of tradition and heritage. And, you know, that's all worth something. The people were, when times were challenged here, the people stayed and they hung in and they didn't move their farms. You know, we lost some horses going to other states, but those have mostly come back now, the mares and stuff. I mean, Sagamore Farm, I know you've heard about that. I was just out there yesterday. You know, Kevin Plank has just done an amazing job honoring the history that came with that farm. And we have lots of other farms, maybe not on the, you know, scale of Kentucky as far as looks and being able to live in the barns and that sort of thing, but we have real working, dedicated people that have farms here, and you're going to hear from one in a little while, Mike Pons.
What is the trick to encouraging people to come back to the state of Maryland as breeders? Your small mom-and-pop breeders that maybe got out of the business or sent their mares elsewhere. I'm assuming that so much of it ties into the incentives associated with running in races that are for Maryland breds, but it doesn't happen overnight, does it? So what's that process of encouraging the breeders to come back to the state?
You have to put the word out, and it is about incentives. You've got to incentivize them. You've got to be competitive region, because we're all so close here that, you know, they're going to look at Pennsylvania and Virginia, well, not so much Virginia right now, but West Virginia, Delaware, and a lot of good things about Maryland is you can take advantage of some of those different state incentives. Like with Maryland Million, you can breed to a Maryland stallion and foal it somewhere else and still be eligible for Maryland Million. The Maryland Bred program, you can be by an out-of-state stallion, but if you foal here and, you know, a couple of other things. So you can't be too exclusive. You have to make sure that people have options in this day and age. The economics drive it, and you have to be competitive. But you also have to get the good news out, because a lot of times the states end up talking about, scaring legislators about what's going on, and they end up scaring people that want to do business in their states.
So when you do go out to talk to people about coming here, racing, breeding in the state of Maryland, Cricket, what are some of the things that you put into your sales pitch, so to speak, that you want people to know about being here in Maryland?
Well, I think the good thing about it is, about Maryland and this region, really, is that you have so much at your, so many things available to you. You have an auction sale company in the state of Maryland, so you've got a commercial outlet. You've got so many tracks within a certain, you know, area. You've got Fair Hill, you know, a top state-of-the-art training facility. It just offers a whole lot, and you'll find people want to race and keep their horses near where they live, you know. So they part of it is they just want to do their business here because they live here, or they live close, and they want to go see their horses run, or they want to see their baby foals when they're born.
Yeah, and they want to bring their friends to the races. I think sometimes the social aspect of racing gets pushed under the rug, but when you a regional breeder, I mean, you want to enjoy your horses with your friends and have them come out to the races and get their picture taken, hopefully, and all of those things that go into it. And because of the fact that this state has a really bunch of loyalists, I mean, very loyal people. I've had a couple of key employees worked for me when I trained horses that were from Maryland. They are among the best in the world. I mean, excellent
horsemen. And they persevered through the hard times, like Cricket said, right?
Absolutely.
They stuck around. They put, and now they paid their dues, and now they're able to reap some of the benefits with the revival of Maryland racing in this industry.
I mean, the economics of the horse racing industry and breeding industry is still, you know, it's a sport that you have to love to do it. You have to have money, and you have to love it because it'll test you. And so I think that people are still coming back and trying to see how they can do it in this day and age. You know, they may not have as much leisure, money, time, but the social aspect, you're right, is big. And that's why Maryland Million is so popular, because for a lot of people that never get, they don't have a Preakness horse, that's like their local regional Preakness, and they bring all their friends, or even if they run on Saturday with their own horse. It's, again, they're showing off a lot of their effort and emotion that are tied into that horse that they've raised.
And certainly Maryland does support the industry, the infrastructure from top to bottom, bottom to top, which is important if you're talking about shoring up the breeding operation, because you can go from the breeding farm to the training farms to the racetrack facilities to the connections and the horsemen that are associated with this state. And that's a big part of it too, is it not, for the breeders to know that really it's all contained here in the state. You don't have to go elsewhere for pieces of that. You don't have to send your horse out to get broken.
Right. Yeah, you've got it all.
Great horse locally and that kind of thing.
Great bloodstock agents, great trainers. And they may not be the highest profile that you read about in the Blood Horse every day, but they're really, really good horsemen, and they're really dedicated to what they do. And that's important, and people rely on that. You know that, you know, there's people you can really trust to advise you. And that's one hard part about this business. You have to find people that you trust, and you have to have that connection. I mean, a lot of the partnerships that are starting today or have been in, you know, that's that. You're relying on your buddies to get together and have a social outing, make a little money, you hope. And I think that's sort of the way things are going. People are looking for that. They're looking for the whole package, you know, a social fun and economics, and to be advised well.
Shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and joined by Cricket Goodall, who is the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and Maryland Million. Cricket, you referenced some of the improvements that have been made at Laurel and some of the renovations that have been done, and you credited the Stronach Group for that, and rightfully so. We've heard a lot about it. For those of us who haven't seen them yet, what's new at Laurel?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, especially with Maryland Million, because they came in a few years ago and sort of their initial rollout was Maryland Million 2 years ago. So they've improved the interior of the grandstand, just upgrading TVs and painting and cleaning it up, basically, as much as anything. Since then, they've gone on to build sort of exclusive boxes and prototypes for sky boxes, because they really want the Breeders' Cup here in 2020, I think they're shooting for. So, and Laurel's a great track. It's, you know, some people knock it because it doesn't have the history, but it actually has an amazing history. I mean, the Washington, D.C. International was an amazing race, was a precursor to the Breeders' Cup, and now it's almost completely, you know, not overlooked, I guess. And there were 50,000 people that came to that race before 50,000 people came to most races, you know, most big race days. So Laurel's got a lot going for it. And I give them credit. The barn area, I mean, they've built all new sort of tent barns, and they're building a wooden stick barn. They're just really focused on that, and that's a good thing. I mean, Pimlico has its appeal, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about the future of it, but you cannot take anything away from what the Stronach Group has done at Laurel.
To listen to you talk about the Maryland industry and some of the renovations at Laurel and things like that, it's also positive. Where did that love of Maryland racing begin for you?
Oh, yeah. I used to show horses, ride horses. I did, you know, I worked at the tracks, I worked at the sales, and I sort of grew up in it, I guess. And to watch the cyclical nature, you know, sometimes you get depressed, but I have really good friends in the business, and I ended up finding a job that I could actually, you know, make a career and still have my fingers in a lot of different horse pies, so it's been great.
Well, your enthusiasm certainly shows through. You know, I know sometimes it was really hard here to wake up in the morning and be in the horse business, but it's certainly changed now, and at least we've been doing the Preakness now for 10 years, and it gets better and better every year.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the political aspect is what, you know, worries you, I guess, and what you have to pay attention to, which is a relatively, you know, new aspect for every horse industry, because you're always accountable, which there's nothing wrong with that. You need to be accountable, but, you know, to have to worry from year to year what politicians might ask questions that you don't, you know, that you don't, I mean, we have the answers, but, you know, the scrutiny is, especially younger, newer urban politicians who may not appreciate the agricultural, which is what our component, as much as we like. But
well, I was going to ask you what some of the biggest challenges are facing Maryland racing and the horse industry now, and it sounds like it's on the political front.
Yeah, right now we have a governor who's very positive and, you know, everything looks good, but you are, as I said, you're accountable every year, and you have to not only go thank the politicians that have helped you in the past, but explain to them, you know, why we continue to need this additional revenue, why we need to be competitive. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you worry, and each state has had that problem where there's threats. I mean, I just was reading about Louisiana and, you know, Pennsylvania. It's just... So it's part of the job now. It didn't. It wasn't that much of a political scrutiny for many years, but the economics have made it that. And so that's always an effort. I don't know if it's a worry necessarily, but you need to make your case.
Well, I think too, when it comes to the Triple Crown, especially, people do take pride in the state where the horse was bred, and you can get some of your people here in Maryland to rally around a Maryland bred if they're running in the Triple Crown. It's the same for every state. You know, I'm originally from California, and even, you know, we've had a history of some nice horses running in the Triple Crown, but not every year. And when there is one, people in California take notice, and it's just like the Kentucky breds, they always have a horse in the, the Triple Crown. Many, many horses, but still, the pride is there, and I think it's important for people in the state, and it helps horse racing so much.
There was a bill passed last year to put a $500,000 bonus on the Preakness for Maryland bred, and it got all sort of came together at the last minute. We did put it out there this year. We don't have a Maryland bred running, but that reinforced that the legislature understands that was money coming from a lottery fund. Anyway, so it's just... You know, they recognize that and how important it would be to reward a Maryland bred that did well on Preakness Day.
Speaking of those kind of Maryland breds, I do have to ask you, Cricket, what took so long for Deputed Testimony to be inducted into the Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Fame?
Billy Boniface must have been talking to you about that, because he would get it every year. And we have a group of voters, and don't ask me, because I thought he should have been too. Initially.
What was it, personal?
Well, if not him, then who?
Yeah, right.
But you should see, every time the votes, you know, the results come out, I get emails. Why isn't, you know, so everybody has their favorites, and he prevailed finally.
Well, Cricket, I have to tell you, this show, we've done it now. This is the third or fourth consecutive year that we've hosted this spotlight on the Maryland Thoroughbred industry. This entire show is your brainchild, and it is so enjoyable to do, because each year I sit here and I do some research, and I find new things every year, new things about the history of Maryland racing, and it's been a delight. Thank you for all your support.
Yeah, I want to thank you for all you've done. Yeah, you've been a great resource, and we have supported you, I think, for a long time, and I appreciate you focusing on us and listening to me when I ask that.
So. We look forward to broadcasting the Maryland Million again this year, too.
October
21st, by the way. You can visit MarylandMillion.com.
Yeah, you've got to come to Laurel, you guys.
I know. It would be fun. Definitely. We need to see all these changes, especially if we're going to be there for Breeders' Cup in 2020.
Oh, I can't wait. That's really cool.
Right.
That's fantastic. Think they'll pull it off?
I do.
That's good.
Tim Ritvo is a dynamo.
He's pretty salty, Tim.
This whole team is great. Cricket, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, and thank you for everything.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right. Mike Pons is coming up next. He, of course, with Country Life. Looking forward to that visit. Stay with us. You are listening to a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network, shining the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
Maryland breds are your formula for success. In 1989, Maryland bred safely kept won Saratoga's Grade 1 test stakes with a final running time of 1:21 and 2/5 seconds. The test was one of 8 wins and 9 starts at 3 for safely kept, who would be voted that year's Eclipse Award winning sprinter. Maryland breds run with the best. Look for them in the winner's circle at racetracks all over the world, and watch for them at the sales. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds.
Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Penna, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, but the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit pdjf.org and start making a difference today.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
As they come into the final furlong, looking at Lee is making a pin now through on the inside up into second. Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway Classic Empire. They're coming to the line and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Maryland Thoroughbred Industry Spotlight on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A quarter of a mile between Cigar and A Perfect Season, coming down to the last furlong with a 2.5 length lead, and Jerry Bailey calls on Cigar for everything he has. The Carrier is awakening second on the inside of the Cigar.
That's the great Tom Durkin with the call of the great Cigar winning the 1995 Breeders' Cup Classic. Who can forget that afternoon? For Cigar, it was a journey that began on April 18th, 1990 at Country Life Farm here in Maryland, and we are privileged now to be joined by Mike Pons of Country Life here on this special showcase of the Maryland thoroughbred horse industry. Mike, really appreciate you taking a little time here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about that call by Tom Durkin and everything that Cigar accomplished. That has to be special to you every time you hear it.
Well, I was at the race, and I thought that it was raining because when I looked down at my program, there were droplets of water all over it, and I didn't realize it was just tears running down my face watching him, how proud we were of him. And it was like a meteorite landed on the farm, and what could I give a several hundred millionaire but the greatest racehorse he ever had? So that was a really special thing for the whole family. We celebrate his birthday every year.
Do you really? How do you celebrate?
Well, we have a little cake and, you know.
Carrot cake?
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully watch some replays of his races.
Well, as my dad used to say, we may never have another cigar, but I wouldn't mind a cigarette or two. Pardon me.
Yeah, I can imagine. It must have been special. Tell me a little bit about what having a horse like Cigar means to the state of Maryland and to the breeding industry here.
Well,
say that he's a
Maryland. You know, it's wonderful to be able to have a hang your hat on type of accomplishment. You know, my grandfather worked for August Belmont. He planned the mating of Man of War. And unfortunately, Belmont's in Europe. He can't manage his racing stable. He gets sold at Saratoga. He goes to the wife of Sam Riddle. Go, hey, listen, buy this horse. She has sense enough to do that. Give Sam the elbow. He raises his hand. You know, he turned $1 million down for him. And then my dad in 61 had a horse named Saggy, who was a racehorse, beat Citation. Citation went 16 in a row in 48, including the Triple Crown. And he got Saggy, who won the Preakness, the Derby and the Preakness. So, you know, there's been really good horses throughout the whole generations of my family. And for us, for Josh and myself, and for the kids and everybody, that was a really special moment. And, you know, we're rooting around. There's been other good ones hooked on a feeling. We bred and some others. But I can smell a good horse right under my nose at this very minute. I don't know where he is or she is, but they're looking right back at me. I just haven't been introduced yet. You know?
Just not listening loud enough.
Correct. Yeah, well, I got to have the hearing aids or something because, yeah.
I learned something. I learned I married the wrong woman. I got to find one of those ones that elbows me when the white horse comes in the ring.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you think about everything that Country Life has meant to the Maryland thoroughbred industry. And you mentioned your brother Josh,
yes,
right? And it's important to note that it's not just you at Country Life. It's your brother Josh, and it's a family affair that's gone back generations.
It's been this giant relay race that we've run now for 84 years here in Maryland, and 100 years, including my grandfather's service prior to that. So it's a really unsung story in the horse business, but pretty cool. And I have counterparts in Kentucky and in Florida that we sit and talk about and laugh because it gives you perspective that few folks have.
Well, you know, Cricket was just on with us in the last segment, and she was talking about all the positive things that are now happening here in the state, not just on the racing side, but on the breeding side. What are some of those things that you're seeing now that are helping you guys on the breeding side?
Well, there are plenty of green shoots. This morning, my young first-year stallion, Mosler, who Seth Hancock bred, he was a $1,050,000 Keeneland yearling. He's booked to 102 mares. We have now 100 mares to a stallion since Malibu Moon left in 2003. So that's a really cool thing moment that we all sort of stopped and then we got back to work. But it was really cool because we hadn't hit that mark in that while. And that should be probably the highest in the state. And on the whole East Coast, there might be five that hit that. But that's a special thing for, you know, a little 100-acre ball of mud here in Maryland to have. And that impact will be felt all over the country, maybe even the world, because the war fronts, the Europeans and the Asians will love the babies. And, you know, it's the start of something big.
Yeah, a lot of people miss the fact that you had Malibu Moon. You guys were the ones that developed them into the stallion. And fortunately or unfortunately, Mr. Hughes bought a farm and off he goes.
Well, you know, again, what could I give a billionaire? The best stallion in central, one of the best stallions in central Kentucky. And it put, it legitimized everything at Spendthrift that he wanted. He said, move him here and bid or buy on every good one I see. And it was like this invisible hand. You go to the sales and all of a sudden, you know, six figures here and there. But it's wonderful to have, you know, 5 minutes with a billionaire. But we have had a relationship since 99 and a wonderful man, a mentor, and, you know, very, again, here's, very humble. You know, if I'd done half the things he did, there'd be banners flying around, billboards, but you don't hear any of that. He moves to central Kentucky, you know, and things he couldn't do in California. Heck, he couldn't even go to, like, Walmart in California because they might grab him, one of the kids. In Kentucky, he's just, you know, blends in. But, of course, he's the wealthiest man in Kentucky. So it's kind of interesting, you know, to have 5 minutes with him. We went down Thursday with the Derby and see Malibu Moon and to visit Mr. Hughes and, you know, Jerry and Ann Moss are there and something. All the beautiful people are there. It's kind of fun just to go out and watch and see what's happening because what's new? There's a lot of things new in that world.
You sound like a little kid, like you're still in awe of being around all these individuals.
Oh, Disney World. Now, friends of mine, God bless them, working in cubicles and offices, and we're outside. Of course, it's 90 degrees today, but we're outside in the heat, enjoying every minute of it. You know, we realize how special this is. And the state of Maryland has really given us an opportunity that few folks would have, you know, to get 6% of the slot play. And we have a 10-year deal with the horsemen. And, you know, we're doing some really fabulous work. And it's pretty, it's a lot of fun because, you know, since 2012, the number of Maryland foals has gone up. The number of mares bred, our in-house population. And I look around at the racetrack, our handle, simulcast live, our attendance, 300 new stalls at Laurel, $20 million improvements. It's really fun because there's a lot of really cool things happening, and it, all right before your eyes. You know, and almost you wonder where that happened. But, and of course, the big McGill is what to do here.
Yeah.
If the state built a new Pimlico, I mean, my envision of Pimlico with the, you know, the term clubhouse turn is the old members clubhouse here at Pimlico with the Victorian porches. If you had a huge theme like that, it would be like the Sydney Opera House. You already got a word down around the world. If you had a building, and with that, I'm talking about a Maryland Racing Museum, 400 years of breeding and racing here in Maryland, 400 years, 142 Preaknesses. You know, few states can rival that.
Yeah.
We have more horses per square mile in Maryland than anywhere. So there's a lot of really cool things here, and it's a heritage industry. Just like Chesapeake Bay, there's horses and there's Hunt Cup and fox hunting and, you know, it's just a really cool thing. Fair Hill, oh, my God. They might get a grade one international jumping event up there on a whole nother level. That'll move them up to, like, a Breeders' Cup status.
Wow.
Laurel's looking at a Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pinch me. There's some unbelievable things that are going on, and it's no accident. You know, it's like that big snowball gets rolling down the hill, and it's picking up all kinds of snow going down.
Yeah. So, your enthusiasm is infectious. I mean, obviously, it comes out, I got to think, through to the listening audience, how excited and how devoted you are to all of this.
How many mares are you sending to a stallion, well, Jeff Bloom? Yeah,
how infectious is it?
Well, that's later.
But you mentioned this. What happens, and you can sense the energy and sort of this newfound appreciation for what's going on in the state of Maryland, not only on the breeding side, but on the racing side. And it doesn't happen overnight, but all of a sudden you look up one day and it's like people are thinking, hey, I want to look at putting some of my horses in that area and racing at those racetracks. Hey, I want to take a look at acquiring some of those Maryland breds that I'm looking at the sale. I think there's a little more value there because of the incentives associated with. Clearly, that comes down to a lot of commitment from people here who have been dedicated to the state from a racing and industry standpoint, and we're starting to see, or I should say, you folks are really starting to see the rewards from all of that.
Well, you can argue that you prepared your whole life for this minute, and here it is. I mean, the ball's in the tee. Let's just drive it down the fairway. It's fun, and we've never had, I think, the support from racetrack ownership that we have with the Stronach Group. Unbelievable from Frank and Belinda and Tim Ritfell. I saw him here Christmas Eve. I'm like, you know, come on, man. I got to be here, but you?
It's a work day, right?
It was a work day. We were the only track. It was a Saturday. The only track running in North America on a Saturday Christmas Eve. And, you know, Tim said, show up. We all did. And they had a huge handle. You know, and Sal Sinatra and George Ann Hale, all the way through in the office. You know, we now have a lot more cooperation between the breeders who, you know, we probably produce 30%, somewhere in the 30s of all the horses on the card here in Maryland. And now we're starting to get races that, an allowance race for Maryland breds. Never had that. A maiden race or two and some other things. The building of a program that's growing that'll allow us to do that. But I give the racing office and the whole Stronach team all the kudos because we work hard enough. We just got to work a little smarter, and they've done that. I laughed. We were in a Maryland Bred Stake a year ago, which usually is the feature. We're in the second race because it's a five-horse field. You know, which I got home early that night for supper. But it was just nice because, you know, every extra horse is another 100 grand or two in the handle, and let's put it, oh, man, put the maiden race in there, you know. But it's fun, and it gives you reason to hit the ground running in the morning when you see everyone hustling and picking up the ground balls and hitting the cutoff man and running the bases, you know, like we're supposed to. You know, we have a winning playoff team, and it's taken us a while to get there. We had a lot of sub 500 years and just slugged it out, and it's nice because you learn from that. All of a sudden, man, we can go to first to third on a ball, and you know, hey, wow, we got a run and didn't even get a hit. Cool stuff that happens when luck and opportunity sort of bump heads, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the great things too, and you mentioned the racing office, is the stakes program here. When you're handicapping on the weekends and you see the stakes that are run here at Pimlico and at Laurel, and there's 100 granders and there's other nice races for horses, not only just local horses but for horses all over the country, drawing more horsemen here, and it's a really nice program here. You could stable here year round and really, you know, make a living and have a good time.
Well, that's the next big thing, is we're going to add days. And I think it's a great idea, rather than just sort of add on to the 167 or whatever we have. You know, Tim and Sal would like to have 200. And that's just 4 days a week times 50. So, you know, that's not that big a deal. But it is to a guy like me. You know, we're baseball hitters. We need more bats. I need more bats for my stallions and for the horse in my racing stable. It's, believe me, you're in a maiden race or allowance race, it's Fairhill South. You know, it's Parks, New York. They're all here
right. Because
they need to win. You know, my old attorney said, "Brits, this contest living, boys. You win and you eat. You know, and if you want to start eating, you better start winning." You know, so it's kind of like gladiators. But having done that, you get better. It makes you sharper. You upgrade your stock. You know, you have to do those kind of things to play the game. And it's just fun that people are paying attention. I used to go to Kentucky and be under the radar, cruise all around, and you know, but now they know my business with the internet fast as I do. You know, they're telling me stuff. So, but that's great because it's meaningful. You know, and
well, you got guys telling Graham Motion how to train and Todd Pletcher how to change equipment. So, you know, you're not alone in that regard.
Yeah.
you're
yeah.
into some good people.
Yeah. Talking with Mike Pons of Country Life Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, this special presentation showcasing the Maryland thoroughbred industry. Don't forget, coming up 5 o'clock Eastern time, we'll have exclusive coverage of the Preakness post position draw, which is presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. Mike, let's spend just a couple of minutes talking about some of the stallions that you have at Country Life. You mentioned Mosler, who is now booked to well over 100 mares, which is spectacular. Super 99, Freedom Child, Frisian Fire, who is now the number one stallion in Maryland. And, of course, you mentioned Malibu Moon as well. I guess it's appropriate with the Moon River playing behind us when we talk about Malibu Moon, too.
Right? Well, they my were favorite song!
I'm surprised Mike knew that. How about Frisian Fire?
Love him. He's our alpha. And God bless him. When Josh and I started retooling the stallion barn, we just spread into manes and tails. I mean, these gals just came in and, you know, we didn't really pick through them that much. He bred 94 mares his first year, but he did it the old-fashioned way, you know, brick by brick, block by block. And I think he's going to be a very good regional stallion. I don't know if he's going to be nationwide, but in this small world we're in, he can get the kind of horses that you like to have. So anyway, cool. They get the run gene, which is important.
He had a pretty big sale, didn't he,
yes.
at the recent OBS sale?
Well, a year ago, he had a colt that Vinny Viola named Army Mule, brought 825
That's right,
at Timonium,
yeah.
And everybody was dumbfounded. I had heard pre-sale he might bring between 3 and 4 and had to sit down. But after it was over, there was a receiving line of all the folks who had a Frisian Fire baby or a two-year-old bred to him, and they were in a receiving line. And I said, I got to go outside and get some air. It was just too hot in there. It was so cool to have that moment.
Sure.
And every good stallion will have a moment, you know, where they stop running side to side and go downfield. And that was a beautiful downfield run for him. And then he had a 230 this year. We bred that filly, sold her for $2,000, had to beg the guy to buy her. And he grows her up. She works 9 and 4. I'm tickled to death for him. You know, and the new owners, West Point and Vinny Viola, they'll know what to do with Todd Pletcher learning how to put the tack on him. You know, believe me. So it's fun. When they're on my team, I couldn't get a horse in that barn anyway, shape, or form, but they can.
Now, what about all these sports references? Down the field, picking up the ground ball. Right. I'm thinking Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, man.
And there's another football team called
the
Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. We don't talk about them. There's a reason our colors are black and gold.
Yeah.
You know that,
okay.
Right?
All right. Yeah, I got to run, but it's really good night.
Upset the Bishop of for 1 year.
Oh, good.
I may be the only Old Hilltop Award winner to ever be booed after my speech.
Yeah, I was there.
I did. I called him out. Yeah,
he was doing the most booing, probably.
He was the first one. Mike, listen, we appreciate you taking a little time here. Thank you for always being accessible. You're the
anytime.
Best. You and Josh do a tremendous job. Keep it rolling, and we'll keep cheering for you.
Amen. Thank you for having me on.
Mike Pons, Country Life Farm, here on this special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network as we continue to shine the spotlight on the Maryland thoroughbred industry.
Maryland breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro-breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Join us on Saturday, June 3rd for the 4th annual Jockeys in Jeans charity event to benefit the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. This year's event takes place at Parks Racing and Casino in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Come out and enjoy autograph signings and exclusive meet and greets with up to 17 Hall of Fame jockeys. Purchase your tickets now at jockeysandjeans.com. In addition, attendees will enjoy a buffet lunch, refreshments, and both live and silent auction, all to benefit a great cause, the PDJF. Learn more at jockeysandjeans.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. We'll bring you live racing coast-to-coast from tracks like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and Gulfstream Park West, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Churchill Downs, and more. Plus, we'll have interviews with racing's biggest names and expert handicapping of all the action. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, on Sirius 219, XM 206, and always streaming live worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 206, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Maryland Thoroughbred Industry Spotlight on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Ben's Cap traveling in fourth, just behind that second group. 21 and 2 was an opening quarter miles. They swing into the stretch now. Rocket Heat is the leader by 3 lengths and Spring to the Sky the outside. Rapid Den, Ben's Cap saving all the ground, is trying to charge from fourth of the furlong left to go. 44 second half mile. Rocket Heat is the leader. Rocket Heat up top, Spring to the Sky. Ben's Cap surging late. Can Ben's Cap get there? Here comes the Cat. The Cat surges through. Oh, 2016 is the year of the Cat. He's 10, he's better than ever, and it's Ben's Cat in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, fifth Jim McKay Turf Sprint for the remarkable Ben's Cat.
Welcome back to Pimlico Racecourse here in Baltimore. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom in the Stronach tent, which is in the infield here at Pimlico. We are just moments away from the start of the post-position draw for the 142nd Preakness Stakes. On Friday, we will get a chance to see Ben's Cat. You just heard Dave Rodman with the call of the 2016 Jim McKay Turf Sprint. Well, the venerable Ben's Cat, the 11-year-old, is back again on Friday, seeking his fifth consecutive win in that race and his sixth overall if he can pull it off. He's a four-time Maryland bred champion older male, and he has been so sensational for Hall of Fame trainer King Leatherberry. One of the true highlights on this weekend, gentlemen, no doubt.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, too, what's so cool about it is the loyal fan base for this horse is remarkable, really. Yeah. I mean, you'll see more people crowd around that paddock in the racetrack to watch, get a good look at Ben's Cat, than almost as many as you will for the Preakness, which is really fun to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's a local favorite, and I'll tell you what, I get upset when he gets beat. I'm not happy about it. I love old horses, and he's about the coolest. No horse like him, really.
Yeah, he doesn't lose this race very often either, does he?
No, this is one of his favorites. He seems to love Pimlico. And what I like about Ben's Cat is regardless of where he is on the racetrack, I mean, he might be dead last turn for home. He can still win. So he's a horse you get to cheer for all the way.
I think 2 years ago, maybe it was three, I don't even remember. I can't remember yesterday, Jude. But you and I were standing next to each other, and Ben's Cat must have been 25 lengths back. And what did he have left? About an eighth of a mile to go.
Yeah.
And you kind of like looked at me like, no, it's okay, it's okay. And I thought, there's no way. This sucker was picking up horses like they were standing still.
Yeah, he can fly. He's a really cool old horse.
It'll be great to see if Ben's Cat can pull it off on Friday. Of course, you're going to hear Ben's Cat. We'll hear the Black Eyed Susan as part of our Express Bet Radio program with Anthony Stabile and Christina McManigal. That's on Friday afternoon. You can tune in right here, Sirius 219, XM 206, beginning 3 o'clock Eastern time. On Saturday, we will bring you our exclusive coverage of the Preakness. And as we told you, at 5 o'clock Eastern, we're going to segue into coverage of the Preakness post-position draw. And right now, this is a room that has really filled up over the past half hour or so. We can see several members of the media. We see all the connections of all 10 horses that were entered into the Preakness Stakes earlier today, including Always Dreaming, who is the Derby winner and the only horse who has an opportunity to pull off that elusive Triple Crown here in 2017. Judy's undefeated this year for trainer Todd Pletcher, and he has been just brilliant in 2017. We saw him win the Florida Derby. Then we were there to broadcast the Kentucky Derby a couple of weeks ago, and he looked equally as good. Is there any stopping this horse?
Well, I don't really think so at this juncture. I was lucky enough to speak with Nick Bush, the exercise rider who's made a lot of difference to this horse in the last 10 days or so. And Nick says he's going just absolutely perfectly, just the way he wants him. He's jumping out of his skin, as a matter of fact, which is just what you want to see after a horse coming off a hard race in the Derby. He's feeling good. He looks great on the racetrack, and there's no reason to believe that anybody's going to be able to challenge him if he runs his race.
Well, they do run the race, and there's always a challenger. But, look, he was dominant, extremely impressive in that race. You know, it's interesting, too, because Nick's done a great job getting on this horse when he became a bit of a handful for his previous rider. But even then, the horse was winning races, right? So it's a good horse. And clearly, this horse seems to be getting better and feeling better and becoming more of a handful, but in the right way almost, because he's just feeling so good. And that's what you want to see in a horse that has to run 2 weeks later after running against in the country and then coming back again, running 3 weeks later.
You know, we talk about this race being completely different than the Kentucky Derby from a media standpoint and covering this event and how much more laid back it is than the, I'll use the word, chaos of the Kentucky Derby, where you're always going and you're always on go for the entire week. This is a much different atmosphere. It's a much different race, too. You don't have 20 horses. We're going to have 10, so you have half the field. Going into the Derby, a lot of the talk is regarding post positions. And, oh, boy, if you get that dreaded one hole, if you get the 20, you probably lost all chance. Jude, with just 10 horses here, it really doesn't matter where you draw, does it?
Yeah, no, not really. I don't really feel like it makes a difference in the Derby either. But a lot of people disagree with me on that. But one thing I can tell you for sure, when you're at the Kentucky Derby draw, you don't have a jazz band backing you up. And that's the great thing about the Preakness is people are here to have a good time, and they're not going to let, whether they're in the one hole or the 10 hole, they're not going to let that worry them. They're going to go out there and do the best they can.
Look, the reality is there is a lot less pressure associated with post position for the Preakness because there's half the horses. And it just makes things that much easier for the connections of those horses in terms of what's going to happen when those gates open. Still, things can go wrong, but a lot less chance of that happening because you have far less traffic problems.
We were talking before we came on air this afternoon. Wouldn't it be ironic if, looking at Lee, who was second behind Always Dreaming in the Derby, drew the one hole in the Derby, of course. If he draws the one hole again here in Baltimore, because you remember his sire, Looking at Lucky, drew the one hole in Louisville, came back here, of course, didn't win the Derby, came back here, drew the one hole in the Preakness, and then did win. So some tie-ins there if Looking at Lee would draw the one hole again.
Yeah, that would be a very strange occurrence, wouldn't it?
1 in 10 chance, right?
I don't know.
1 in 10.
Yeah, but the odds of father and son drawing the same post in the same two races and having the same result, although the son did a little better in the Derby than the father.
Yeah,
did.
Second as opposed to sixth for Looking at Lee. Yeah, no doubt. Or Looking at Lucky, I should say. Well, it's going to be interesting. Of course, all that coverage up on Saturday. You can visit horseracingradio.net for a complete Preakness Week schedule, listing of affiliates and SiriusXM channel information. And, of course, you can follow us on social media as well at HRRN and our website, horseracingradio.net. Want to say some thank yous to everybody for making this show possible, including the Maryland Thoroughbred Horse Industry. That's Cricket Goodall and Mike Pons from Country Life. They joined us throughout this past. Absolute delight to bring it your way. Coming up next, it is the Preakness Post Position Draw presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association that kicks off in just about, 2.5 minutes. Stay with us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.